This morning on WCHL, the superintendent of the Orange County Schools, just 8 months on the job, is out. The UNC learning specialist who laid blame on former arts and sciences deans for partial fault in the academic scandal has returned to WCHL. He's in our studios now. Orange County recycling woes continue today.
We have to choose from a basket of bad options.
And the short session of the North Carolina General Assembly kicks off today with new names representing us.
We do need an across-the-board pay raise for teachers, and I'm glad that the governor recognizes that.
When people look at what's happening now, they expect the state to ensure that Duke Energy does indeed clean up those funds, that there is a plan in place.
These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill coverage of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, a non-conference schedule, is in the books now for Carolina baseball with its defeat of Gardner-Webb last night. Plus, the ACC Men's Basketball Championship moves to Saturday night. And
now, the ACC Basketball Tournament scheduling. That's a big deal.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707 at WCHL. We have 68 degrees in Chapel Hill and the beginning of another warm day, although not quite as hot as yesterday. Mostly sunshine today, high today in the upper 80s. The UNC learning specialist who laid blame on the College of Arts and Sciences former deans for not catching Julius Nangoro in the academic scandal has returned to WCHL today. In just a moment, Bradley Bethel, author of the widely read blog Coaching the Mind, continues his conversation with WCHL News and Sports Director Rand North about the UNC academic scandal. Last week, Bethel said the very people who are blasting the university for allowing the academic scandal to take place are at the heart of the problem. Bradley Bethel is here in our studio to discuss his latest viewpoints and where he thinks the future of the UNC academic scandal is headed. And now, once again, here is WCHL's Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. And Bradley, thank you for coming back and joining us again for this conversation. Didn't have enough time to talk about it all last week, and it's probably hard to say we're going to have enough time to completely talk about it all today as well, but glad that you've joined us again.
Well, thanks, and I'm well aware that brevity is not one of my strong points, so thanks for having me. Apologize for my long-windedness.
Well, it's taken me, I still don't think I've read all of your blogs yet, but I have at least read a portion of all of them, because there's a lot in there that you have to say for sure. I want to first, as we try to often do when we have somebody back, is first go back, and now that you have thought about what you said last week, and people have commented on your on the article that I wrote about our interview last week, and listening to that interview again, is there any? Do you stand by all of what you said last week?
Sure. But there are a few points that I want to make, particularly in response to some of the comments. And first point I want to make is that what I accused the former deans of is far less egregious than what Levine and Smith and some others have been accusing athletics and academic support of. My accusation was negligence. They've been talking about malfeasance and collusion. And so I think that's important to note. And as I noted last week, negligence is a far less sensational scandal. It doesn't sell as many headlines as what Smith and Levine are talking about. And then furthermore, another point is that I was not trying to lay blame exclusively on Levine and Smith. That wasn't my point. My point was that all of the former deans who had or who should have had some responsibility for monitoring and supporting educational quality are culpable. It's a system that's culpable. So I'll even apologize if I overemphasized or even misunderstood the extent of Levine's and Smith's culpability. They're not the only ones, but they are part of those deans who had that responsibility, and so they are culpable. I highlighted them specifically because of how hypocritically they have been pointing their fingers at athletics and academic support, and I use that term hypocrite very intentionally. I'm reminded of the lesson from the Sermon on the Mount. Why do you point out the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own eye? First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Well, the plank that is in Levine's and Smith's eye is the administrative structure that they were a part of that allowed a professor to go more than a decade without showing up to most of his classes. And so that's why I point out their hypocrisy. I think if Smith was genuine about reform, instead of having started an athletics reform group a couple years ago, he would have started an administrative reform group. And the purpose would have been something like restructuring the responsibility of the deans so as to monitor and support educational quality more effectively. And so the last point I'll make is just that I don't enjoy talking about this negligence. I would prefer to talk about the excellence that I think is more characteristic of UNC. And this is what I said in my email to Chancellor Folt last summer. I said that there's a real culture of excellence that permeates UNC. And I'd rather talk about that than a couple oversights. But as long as Levine and Smith and others keep clamoring about this, I'm going to speak up because I'm not one to remain silent while hypocrites shout so loudly.
UNC did an internal review which found that less than 6% of the 176 students in Mary Willingham's study read below an eighth grade equivalent. Her study and what she's been saying is that, I believe I have this number right, 60% read below a 12th grade level. So we're essentially not college ready is what she's been saying.
She claimed 60% below high school.
Below high school,
yeah,
right.
She said 60% below high school and another 10% below fourth grade.
Right. So is the 6%, do you think admitting that kind of a number of student athletes, do you think that is okay even to have that number, or should it be 100% 12th grade and above?
That's a great question. I think that unless we can do some sort of reading assessment for all the recruits, that it would be really hard to determine. It would be really difficult to completely eliminate any new students who have below a 12th grade reading level. And so, as I've said, admissions needed to be improved, and it has been improved, but it's not going to be perfect. And I think it's going to keep improving. And so is it possible that going forward there will be students who read below a 12th grade level, maybe even below a 9th grade level? I suppose it's possible. So rather than say we absolutely should not admit any students at that level, I think a more thoughtful statement or a more thoughtful commitment would be to say we are going to be committed to making sure that everyone we admit is capable of succeeding at UNC.
Obviously, there are special admits for student athletes. There's special admits for non-student athletes as well. Mm-hmm. People, you know, even Steve Farmer, the director of undergraduate admissions, has said that he wants to take a comprehensive look at the resume of students. It's not mm-hmm. just about the grades. Wants
right.
to look at extracurriculars and things like that. Have you seen any kind of numbers that point to? I know you deal with student athletes a lot, mm-hmm. but have you seen any kind of numbers that point to the fact that there are non-student athletes that are at the same level as what we're talking about right now with student athletes, that mm-hmm. maybe that this is not an anomaly, mm-hmm. but only that student athletes are being targeted at this point?
Right. That's an interesting question. And I haven't, because I only work with student athletes. I don't know what the numbers for or what the academic profiles for the underprepared or academically challenged non-athletes are. But, you know, it might be worth looking at how many of the special admits in music or in drama or in art are comparable academically to the non-athletes. And, you know, perhaps it should be a goal that the athletes who are admitted are not significantly more underprepared than the other specially admitted students. But again, I don't work with any of the non-student athletes.
We're speaking with UNC learning specialist Bradley Bethel, also author of Coaching the Mind, Putting the Student in Student Athletes. And right now, it's time to take a look at traffic and weather together.
All right, thanks so much. We'll be back with Rand in just a moment and the interview. Right now, let's take a look at what's happening in the roadways and this report on traffic brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar.
Thank you very much, Ron. Good news is that traffic is moving smoothly right now. No accidents or delays to report. If you see anything, though, as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
The Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Now turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather forecast, brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening. It is going to be warm today again, not quite as warm as yesterday, 68 degrees right now. Look for a lot of sunshine. Our high today in the upper 80s, about 5 or 6 degrees cooler than yesterday, if you can call that cool. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, we're looking at showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce some heavy rainfall late in the day. Our high tomorrow, about 80 degrees, and an 80% chance of rain tomorrow. Some strong winds kicking up, but late tomorrow and tomorrow night, 100% chance of rain tomorrow night, with a low down around 60. Fifth Season Gardening at downtown Carborough. Grow organic this spring with the area's widest selection of organic vegetable starts, seeds, soils, and fertilizer. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store.
Ron Stuntz in the morning and Progressive Talk all day. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:18, and now back to Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. We're joined by UNC Learning Specialist and author of Coaching the Mind, Bradley Bethel. And Bradley, somebody actually emailed me last week after our interview, or called in, I believe, and asked if I would ask this question, and this is something that I'd like to hear about as well. How does this, the academic scandal that's going on, I know a lot of people have been talking about it's a national issue, but of what you've seen, how does this compare to other universities? And someone even commented, a lot of UNC, NC State talk going back and forth. Someone commented on the article from last week saying that NC State caught its problems before they got out of control. Do you have any insight on that?
No, not really, because, you know, the truth is I'm not a student or a scholar of NCAA history and NCAA scandals. And one point that I have made, though, in some back and forth on Twitter, is I know that NC State had a scandal in the 80s, I believe it was. And the point I made is that I am sure that the media sensationalized that scandal in the same way that they're sensationalizing the UNC scandal. So whatever came out in the media about NC State scandal 20, 30 years ago, I'm sure the truth, the reality of that scandal was not as bad as how the media ran it. You know, I will say, though, that I think there's this idea out there I've heard from, I think Smith has actually said this, as well as David Ridpath at Ohio University, Gerald Gurney at Oklahoma University, that the UNC scandal is the worst in NCAA history, at least the worst academics athletic scandal in NCAA history. And that I find striking. For one reason is they like to throw out this number of the 500 plus unauthorized grade changes to support their assertion that this is the worst scandal in NCAA history. But there's a major problem with that, is that 500 plus number includes athletes and non-athletes. That is not 500 plus grade changes, unauthorized grade changes, just for athletes. It includes non-athletes. And so I think what we really need to look at the numbers, which most of the Dan Cain and other journalists have really been complacent in doing. They've cited this 500. Dan Cain has cited this 500 plus number. Paul Barrett has cited it, but again, it's not the fair number because it includes non-athletes. When we look at the data we have, the good data we have, it goes from 2001 to 2012, and during that time in the paper classes, student athletes took 231 unauthorized or suspected unauthorized grade changes. It's not 500 some. They're 231. Now, the point is, actually, I'm sorry, that's 253. There are 253. 231 is the number of temporary grade changes. This is significant because there's a difference between temporary and permanent grade changes. Temporary grade changes are actually fairly commonplace at the university. This is where a student has something happen during the semester, says to the professor, hey, I'm not going to be able to finish this final paper by the deadline. Can you give me an incomplete and I'll get it 2 weeks after the semester and, or, you know, or whatever. And the professor says, okay, I'll give you your grade then. So these 231, they're temporary grade changes. They're fairly commonplace. And they comprise 91% of the unauthorized or suspected authorized grade changes for athletes. So what that leaves us with is 22 permanent grade changes for athletes, not the 500s. I mean, I think this is the number people should be talking about is 22, not the 500 some. Now, of course, zero is anything other than zero is inexcusable. There's obviously something amiss here. However, there's no evidence of any of these unauthorized or suspected unauthorized grade changes outside of AFAM. So when we look at these 22 over 12 years, that's 22 out of 96,000 grades that UNC athletes would have accumulated over that 12-year period. 22 out of 96,000. Now, if we want to assume that these 22 grade changes were just men's basketball and football, then that's still 22 out of the 13,440 total grades that, or that's an estimate, by the way, that football and men's basketball players would have gotten throughout their careers over that 12-year period. So that's still less than 1%. Now, another important point to make about this 22 unauthorized or suspected unauthorized permanent grade changes for athletes. And that same period in these classes, there were 75 of these grade changes for non-athletes. 22 for athletes, 75 for non-athletes. So although the enrollment, athletes did have a disproportionately high enrollment in the paper classes. It was 45% athletes, 55% non-athletes. So that was disproportionately high for athletes. But when we look at the students who were in the classes, the students who comprised the classes, non-athletes actually had a proportionally higher rate of the grade changes. It was of the unauthorized permanent grade changes. 77% of the unauthorized permanent grade changes were for non-athletes. Only 23% of them were for athletes. So the conclusion I draw from this is that if this was the biggest scandal in NCAA history, then NCAA's history is a lot cleaner than I thought it was.
Now, another phrase that's been used, we've been talking, and you said last week that academic scandal is, in your words, unfortunately, the proper way of deeming this. Another phrase that's been used in talking about this is fake classes, that there were fake classes. Do you think that that is a proper representation, that there were fake classes, or were they, we know paper classes has been used a lot. What about fake classes?
Fake class. Were they fake class? Well, I don't know if fake is the right word, but they definitely weren't what they should have been. They were not the, as it says on the website for the Office of Curricula, they were not the outstanding research-based, academically rigorous classes that UNC is supposed to have. So that's what I said. Again, I don't know if I would call them fake because there was something to do. And the other point I would make about that is I don't even think Julius Nyangaro thought they were fake. When you look at going back to some of the numbers, when you get into the reports on some of the classes and the enrollments in those classes, you don't see a pattern of a professor who believes that what he's doing is wrong. For example, in the spring of 2004, he taught a class, AFRI 120. In that class, there were 158 students. Only 45 were athletes. So that means there were over 100 non-athletes in this paper class. Now, how is somebody who thinks that this is wrong, that what he's doing is wrong, how is somebody who's trying to keep what he's doing a secret, possibly gonna convince 100-some non-athletes not to talk about this paper class? And there are other classes. In the fall of 2003, there was a class with 95 students, only 35 athletes. So that's 60 non-athletes who would be talking to their advisors, talking to their friends about this paper class. So when we look at the, when we actually look at the numbers and look at the patterns that emerge, what we see is not the behavior of somebody who is trying to hide something, but somebody who believes they are perfectly within their rights to do what they are doing. So I don't even think Nayengaro thought that his classes were fake, and so I'm not necessarily comfortable with that term fake either.
We're speaking with UNC learning specialist and author of Coaching the Mind, Bradley Bethel. How many people have contacted you challenging what you've said? And I'm going to say outside of what we've seen, in addition to what we've seen on the article just last week.
Well, I've blocked a lot of people on Twitter. So there are probably a lot more who would like to contact me and challenge me via Twitter. I have not blocked many people on my blog because I want the comment section to be an open forum for discussion. But I have blocked some who were being especially rude or irrational. And quite honestly, on my blog, sometimes the comments just get so out of hand, I can't even keep up. But sometimes I respond. I try to keep up, at least to some extent, and respond. And I've gotten a few emails challenging me, but most of the emails I've gotten have been supportive. Now, I'm not going to claim, Mary Willingham claims she's gotten thousands of supportive emails. I've gotten a few dozen. so I guess I'm still behind Mary Willingham's thousands.
Any death threats?
No death threats. No okay. death threats, fortunately. So I've had challenges, and most of them have been reasonable, but
in the supportive ones, are there any professors or people with UNC faculty staff ties that have talked up? Because I know Mary Willingham and Jay Smith came on our airwaves and said that we're going to hear a number of people come out after they did in support of what they said. And a lot of them were with UNC ties. I don't think we've heard those numbers step up. We have heard the former UNC faculty that signed the letter to the university with the anger, if you will. as far as UNC faculty and staff that have supported you, have you heard many of them?
I have had some emails from faculty members, and that's been especially rewarding. To get an email from somebody who says, "I've been teaching here for 30 years, and I appreciate that you're putting this work in to trying to make the truth known." And the most rewarding compliment I've gotten it a few times was people appreciating that I wasn't just defending the university or anybody else, but the fact that I have been critical. I have been willing to say, here are some things we did wrong. We should have had better admissions. The deans should have been more responsible. So I've had people point out that they take me more seriously because I'm willing to acknowledge that not everything has been perfect.
Do you think UNC should step up more and say that?
Well, the challenge to that is that UNC is limited in what they can say about individuals, because we have rights, we have federal and state protected rights as employees and former employees. An employer can't just start coming out and saying, well, this person wasn't very good at his job. And this is something that some of these retired faculty members want. They want the university to come out and say, well, these coaches didn't value academics enough. But the thing is that would be perceived, that could be perceived as a defaming statement against those coaches, in which case the coaches could turn around and sue and say, you've made my my ability to get a job at another university more difficult. And so I don't blame the university for not saying more, for not taking more responsibility. I blame some individuals, some. I mean, talking about the deans, I think that some of the deans should have stepped forward and they should have said, hey, this is our fault. We dropped the ball on this. And frankly, I think if some deans had stepped forward 3 years ago and said, we allowed this to happen, I think that the course of the narrative that has taken place in the media would have been much different. I don't think it would have been as sensationalized. I don't think it would have dragged out the way it has. And so, you know, if there's one thing I wish could have happened, I think that's the one thing, is that some of the individual deans would have stepped up and said, we take responsibility.
We're speaking with UNC learning specialist and author of Coaching the Mind, Bradley Bethel. We will continue this conversation and talk about the Weinstein reports that could come out soon or could come out in a little length of time as well. We'll talk about that when we continue. But, Ron, let's pause for a little look at the weather report here at the bottom of the hour.
All right. It is going to be another warm day today. I think we can safely say that. And this forecast is brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant. I'll tell you more about them in just a moment. It is now 68 degrees in Chapel Hill, mostly sunshine today. High today in the upper 80s. Not quite as hot as yesterday. Yesterday was really like summer, and today is going to be almost as warm. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down around 65. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms in our forecast, mainly in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall in the afternoon tomorrow. Our high tomorrow, about 80 degrees, so still a few degrees cooler, and some strong winds late in the day as well, both tomorrow and tomorrow night. Our chance of rain is 80% tomorrow afternoon, 100% tomorrow night. Glass Half Full, as I mentioned, is the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right at the heart of downtown Carborough. And the beautiful garden patio is now open. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun as well at Glass Half Full. It is 7:33 at WCHL.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
This is the WCHL Morning News. I'm Rod Sutz. Now back to Ran Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron, and we're joined by Bradley Bethel, the UNC Learning Specialist and author of Coaching the Mind. Bradley, the Kenneth Weinstein has been tasked with letting the evidence take him where it takes him. That's what people have been talking about. And this is not a review that is led by UNC in any direction. They have asked Kenneth Weinstein to take it where it will. He served as the first Assistant Attorney General for National Security and later as the Homeland Security Advisor to the United States President George W. Bush. He is an attorney and has been tasked with this this review and this investigation. What are your thoughts on where he is going with this investigation?
Well, what I know is that he is being very thorough. He is had access to more people, more resources than any of the previous investigations. And so, excuse me, I feel confident, I think most people feel confident that if there is something to uncover, he is going to uncover it. And I have said before, he very well could. My point about this scandal being an academic scandal was that that's based on the evidence we have so far. Any suggestion that there's an athletic scandal, that there's collusion or malfeasance is just conjecture and insinuation. But maybe he reveals something. And you know what? I've been very encouraged by people in the university who have said, we want to know. If there was some wrongdoing, we want to know. We don't want to hide. There's this, Jay Smith and others claim that the university, the authorities are trying to hide stuff or hide something. But from my impression, I don't think anybody's trying to hide anything. They want to know the truth. And so my biggest concern is if something is revealed, how will the media report it? You know, to what extent are they going to sensationalize it the way they've sensationalized so much? And what comes to mind specifically is I think of the first article in the NNO about Mary Willingham. The title of the article was something like, Academic Support Staff Tolerates Cheating. Well, when you read the article, actually, Mary Willingham gave one example of one academic counselor who didn't follow through on Mary's accusation of cheating. Mary said that she had worked with a women's basketball player, and she thought that the women's basketball player cheated, and she reported it to the counselor, and the counselor said not to worry about it. Now, maybe that happened. Maybe the women's basketball player at that time did in fact not exhibit due diligence on that case. That does not mean that the entire academic support program should be characterized as tolerating cheating because of one person. And so going back to the Weinstein report, I just hope that if he finds something, I hope he doesn't, and I hope that's the truth, but if he does find something and it's one person, if it's two people, I just hope that the media doesn't run with it and say that this is evidence or this illustrates what we've been saying, that the whole system was corrupt. So we'll just have to see what Weinstein finds.
Do you think if he doesn't find anything, and the Martin report was not a big, here's a bunch of new information. Yes, it sent the scandal back further than I think many people thought it was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a new revelation of any kind of scandal. It kept it on the academic side. It didn't uncover athletics as being a major problem. And so it didn't really die down. Do you think if Weinstein doesn't find anything that this will be enough evidence for people to believe that, or do you think there will still be skepticism that there are problems out there?
I think it'll be enough for the people that matter. I think it'll be enough for the people in the middle in general, you know, whether they're part of UNC or not. But they're going to continue to be the ABCers, as they're referred to, all but Carolina, the detractors who are just convinced. And when you read some of the Twitter comments, it just seems like some of these people, their whole lives revolve around criticizing UNC, and so they will believe what they want in the face of all evidence to the contrary. And so, but those people, their opinions don't matter. And so I think that Weinstein's report is going to be definitive. It's going to be final. It's going to close the book on this. At least I really hope it will.
Bradley Bethel is the UNC Learning Specialist and author of Coaching the Mind. You can read his thoughts at coachingthemind.blogspot.com. We'll have this interview that we've had today, as well as last week's interview, posted on our website, chapelboro.com. We hope that you will listen to it if you missed any part of it today. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon, Bradley. And thanks so much for joining us and talking to us again today.
Thanks for having me.
Ron, thank you.
Thank you both for the conversation. Very interesting. It is 7:39 at WCHL. We have 68 degrees in Chapel Hill. Another really warm day. Look for a lot of sunshine today. High today in the upper 80s. More coming up on your weather. And also, we'll take a quick look at traffic in just a few moments on WCHL. In addition to that, Fred Black has today's commentary. He says, why can't we all be happy, or at least act like it, when we're talking about all this redevelopment in Chapel Hill? That is on the way right after this.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know your home-based business may not be covered by your homeowner's insurance? Many people have started a home-based business, but there's strict guidelines between homeowners and business insurance policies. Business pursuits within the home or conducted in a detached structure are excluded from the standard homeowner's policy. Don't assume your home-based business is covered for property liability. Call High & Rubish at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Limited time to pack up and move out? At the UPS Store, we have everything you need to help make your move quicker and easier. For a limited time, we're offering 25 to 50% off moving supplies, including four different size moving boxes, dish pack boxes with divider inserts, wardrobe boxes with hangers, packing peanuts, bubble wrap, and packing tape. To learn more about how we can help you with all of your packing and shipping needs, stop by the UPS Stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers. customers. Concerts? Check. Outdoor movies? Check. Fresh and local goods? Check and check. Chapel Hill's new old neighborhood, Southern Village, has every ingredient for your perfect Southern summer. And guess what? Good times are cooking. Our farmer's market takes place every Thursday from 3:30 to 6:30 and the Sunday at 6 p.m. We welcome American folk duet Dana and Susan Robinson as part of our annual Sunday music series on the Village Green. So come have yourself a real Southern summer for free. Visit southernvillage.com for more information.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
7:42 at WCHL's Front Sets, and as promised, we have Fred Black's opinion piece on WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Fred Black. Who hasn't heard Pharrell Williams' Academy Award-nominated song from Despicable Me 2? Yes, his Happy song is extremely popular and gets people up and dancing. And some have even made their own videos using the catchy number. Even the UNC players and coaches. You would think that the message from this lively number like Happy would wear off on us. But it appears that more than a few of us just don't seem to be all that happy. Or at least project an attitude that might lead someone to assume that we're happy. Take a look at the development plans on the town council's agenda. If you go to any of the meetings or hearings, you will certainly come away with the feeling everyone isn't happy. And sometimes they aren't even civil toward one another. Surely we can do better. True happiness is an inner quality. Why do some of us let other people affect us so? Sure, these decisions are important, but not so important that they should change us into someone we really don't want to be. Yes, there are all sorts of things we confront these days that tend to make us anything but happy. But I think we can control how to keep many of those things from getting to us. And the byproduct is how much we can accomplish together if we're just a little happier as we work together to make our community what we want it to be. This is Fred Black.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Beethoven, what's wrong?
Ah, I'm trying to compose my ode to joy, but how can I be joyous when I'm so hungry?
Why don't you try Bread Mints? They've got everything from sandwiches to scrambled eggs. It's my favorite spot in town.
Gott in Himmel, that's it! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Lots of food, not much to pay. Go to Bread Mints, come to Bread Mints. Eat at Bread Mints every day.
Bread Mints Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
You're a genius, Beethoven.
Dankeschön.
At the UPS Store, we love printing. Large format flyers, professional presentations and manuals, banners, bumper stickers, basically anything you might need. We do it all from start to finish. And now we have three convenient options to make the process even easier for you. Submit your print job by email or by visiting our new online print website at upsstoreprint.com, and we'll quickly have it ready for you to pick up. Or you can always bring your materials to one of our local stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
When you turned 60, you still felt pretty good. At 70, you started slowing down a bit. But now, you just can't argue with it anymore. So you have a choice to make. Will you spend your days drinking those shakes your daughter keeps buying? Or will you get out and live? Home Instead Senior Care has been giving seniors the tools they need to really live their lives for over a decade. Sometimes you just need an extra set of hands. There's a difference between living and really living. And that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
This is Stacy Chapman at the Print Shop in University Mall. We would like to congratulate all those graduates out there with some great diploma framing deals. Our beautiful UNC diploma frames are on sale now for $125. Even the student stores and downtown shops can't beat that. And don't fret if you want to pick out your own custom order or match another school's colors. We're offering 20% off all diploma and certificate framing the entire month of May. Only at The Print Shop. For over 40 years, your art, print, and framing store in University Mall.
It is time now for Traffic and Weather Together, and this traffic report brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point.
Thank you, Ron. 15501 southbound right now, seeing some delays. Nothing major there, just minor to moderate between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road. Also, NC-54 heading eastbound between 15501 and I-40, seeing some delays. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your schedule service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. And now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather forecast, not quite as hot today. The forecast brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. It is 68 degrees right now, mostly sunshine today. High today in the upper 80s, going to warm up about 20 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 65. Tomorrow, we're looking at showers and thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon, late in the day. Some thunderstorms may bring with them heavy rainfall. Our high tomorrow, about 80 degrees, and some very strong winds, gust up to 25 miles per hour, 80% chance of rain late tomorrow, and then a 100% chance of rain tomorrow night with the overnight low about 60, also kind of windy. So, again, to sum up, it's not going to be as hot today as yesterday, but it still will be very, very warm. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. 7:48 at WCHL, back on track now after an excellent interview this morning. Rand Northam, part two of an interview with Bradley Bethel, and I know that we're going to have that on our website so everybody can hear it if they missed it.
We certainly will, and I'll link back to the one from last week as well, which has gotten a lot of not only page views, people looking at the site and looking at that page and that conversation, listening to the interview, but also a lot of comments, and those continue as there's been another one posted just in the last hour, actually. So people continue to talk back and forth about what was said in the interview and about what's going on in the UNC academic scandal. So it continues on, and I think Bradley's exactly right that when the Weinstein report comes out, it might not be all the answers that everybody's looking for, but I think this is going to be a big part of the entire academic scandal because he has said, the university has said, that it's not a six-month review. It's not a review of a certain department. It is a review that he has been tasked with letting the evidence take him where it will take him. And that means that all is fair. That everything he can get his hands on, he will. And so I think it will answer a lot of questions that people have, and really tell a lot in this case.
Well, hopefully we can have a similar interview with Weinstein after his work is concluded. And I don't know. I think I probably speak for a lot of people in saying that this whole thing, I'm just so totally fatigued. By it all,
sure.
And I just hope that we get to the bottom of this, and then we can, you know, put things in place to make sure it doesn't happen again, and then we can all move on. You know, I mean, the last 3 years of our lives have been dedicated to talking about this, and it's time to, you know, for a new day, and I think everybody wants that.
Well, you know, and the Carol Folt administration has said that new processes have been put in place so that this doesn't happen again. And I think UNC has to do a good job of showing that that has continued and that that will continue. But, you know, that's to be said. That's what UNC needs to come out with and continue that. So be sure to visit our website, chapelboro.com, today. We will have that interview posted. Again, last week's conversation is already up, and we'll have a link to that in the news story that's posted today as well. And you can find lots of other great things going on our website, as well as things going on in and around Chapelboro on our community calendar. We've got some great scene around town galleries and lots of other great articles from people from all over the community.
Well, going from that totally serious topic, it is 7:50 at WCHL, 69 degrees in Chapel Hill, and let's move into the Wayne Pond portion of the program.
Yeah.
Dr. Pond not with us today, but Ran has consented to come up with a word for us today. And Ran, what do you got?
Today, I've got one that may or may not enter into your vocabulary, but I challenge you to enter it into the vocabulary because I think it's one that you could do.
I accept the challenge.
All right.
Whatever it is.
It's eidetic. Eidetic. E-I-D-E-T-I-C. Eidetic. E-I-D-E-T-I-C. And it's marked by or involving extraordinarily accurate and vivid recall, especially of visual images. So something like a photographic memory, but not exactly to that extent. Not having a photographic memory, but something that stands out in your mind because it was so vivid and extraordinary.
There's a television show about what is her name? Is it Poppy Montgomery? Who was on another show, but she's the star of a show where she is like a police investigator or something. I don't watch it on a regular basis. I've just seen it previously.
Is it Medium?
Once, maybe once or twice. No, but it's something like that. It's like she never forgets anything. She never forgets images or details, and it's really kind of interesting. I can't remember, but that is an example of someone who is eidetic, I suppose.
Gotcha.
I, on the other hand, am not particularly eidetic. It's difficult for me to remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
You're not speaking of Without a Trace, are you?
No.
Okay.
No, but it's a show like that, though.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Well, there's not Criminal Minds, but The Mentalist.
Oh,
there's
one. I love that show. So, I absolutely love it.
Anyway, eidetic. That's the word of the day today.
Well, that's a good one. And the word of the day on WCHL is brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I don't know.
Next hour, we'll have an opportunity for you to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's 7:53.
FM, WCHL. Hi there, it's Ron Stutz, and Lauren Stafford has just walked into the room.
Good morning, Ron.
Highlight of my whole day.
Oh, you're too sweet.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, I'm doing great.
I've been told that before, by the way.
Sorry?
I've been told that before, by the way.
Oh, really?
It wasn't true then. It's not true now. I'm not sweet.
I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
I'm sure you do. Bottom of my heart. You got a good joke?
I think I do.
Good.
I do. I'll be honest. It took me a couple read-throughs. This was sent to us, and it took me a couple read-throughs, and then once I got it, I loved it.
So you're saying it's not funny, or you're saying it's
It is
subtle.
Funny. It's subtle.
It's kind of subtle.
It's not like slap you in the face hilarious.
Okay.
It's more like just tickle you funny.
Okay. Well, I'm into that. Let's see if I can get the subtlety of this humor, which is somehow doubtful. I don't know. But anyway, run it by me. Let's see how it goes.
Easy win. Okay.
Our listeners will get it.
That's right
away,
exactly.
I'm sure.
We have smart listeners.
They're smarter than we are.
Yeah, apparently. I was just about to say the same thing. Clue smart enough. All right. So, the shipwrecked mariner had spent several years on a deserted island.
Mm-hmm.
Then one morning, he was thrilled to see a ship offshore and a smaller vessel pulling out toward him.
Mm-hmm.
When the boat grounded on the beach, the officer in charge handed the maroon sailor a bundle of newspapers and said to him, "The captain said to read through these and let us know if you still want to be rescued."
In other words, there's so much bad stuff going on in the world, you might not want to come back
And I'll be honest, a deserted island sounds pretty nice about now.
Yeah, it does.
I tell them to leave me for a little while.
I might decide to stay.
Right, exactly.
Hey, listen, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Ronnie Graham is today's WCHL Hometown Hero, another very special mom nominated by her son, Brian Graham. Brian, tell me why Ronnie is so special.
Thanks, Ron. My sister, Brittany, and I really wanted to do something special for our mother in terms of Mother's Day coming by, and she's just been such a positive influence in our lives as a single mother, raising both of us, working in the school system. She's been just absolutely fantastic and has taught us really about staying grounded and working really hard for the things that we'd like to achieve and setting goals and working through them. And she's done it all with a smile on her face and taking care of us and our family pets. So I really just couldn't ask for a better role model and friend than my mom.
I understand that not only has she been a great mom to you and your sister, but she also has helped
a lot of other people, countless children and their families. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so my mother has she's a long career in the Durham Public Schools as an audiologist and a speech pathologist, and she works with children with special needs and some autism and speech defects. So, you know, I do everything that she can to give them a leg up and help them communicate with their families, and just wanting to ensure that kids are a little bit less fortunate than us have a fair shake.
And Ronnie also finds time to volunteer out in the community.
Absolutely. There's very few things that Ronnie will say no to volunteering. She's a big fan of the arts and loves to volunteer at, you know, the DPAC and, you know, the Durham Performing Arts Center and also at the Carolina Theater. She's an active participant in the art walks around Carrboro and Chapel Hill and Hillsboro. And she's always calling me, say, you know, hey, Bri, there's an opportunity to, you know, do this and volunteer down at the Eno River or volunteer for the PTA thrift shop. Would you like to do it? And she's just really great. And she's impacted a lot of lives because of that.
That is fantastic, and you're very fortunate to have such a wonderful mother, and you and your sister have a lot to be proud of, and certainly we appreciate what Ronnie Graham does in the community as well.
Fantastic. Well, it really is an honor to, you know, receive the call and have my mom, Ronnie Graham, as the WCHL hometown hero, and she's recently become an avid listener of the morning show, so hopefully this will be a big late Mother's Day surprise.
Well, Brian, thanks for letting us know about her.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to share my story.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Cruisers Convenience Marketplace is the official sponsor of Fountain Drink Season. Now's your chance to taste the best fountain drinks in town for free. This Wednesday, May 14th, Cruisers is offering free fountain drinks all day long. So stop by any of their convenient area locations, including Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Briar Creek, and Powell Place. Enjoy one of their refreshing fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees over Cruisers' famous chewy ice. It's free this Wednesday, no purchase necessary. Free fountain drinks this Wednesday at Cruisers. Good to go.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates like our current special of 0.5% APY for 9 months with a minimum balance of $500. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this. Member FDIC.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from DSI Comedy Theater. It's half off. $20 worth of tickets available now for $10. Did you know that DSI Comedy has a brand new location at 462 West Franklin Street? DSI has earned a reputation as the best comedy theater in the South with its critically acclaimed performances of improv, sketch, and stand-up comedy. It's half off from DSI Comedy Theater. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. 69 degrees, mostly sunshine today. High today in the upper 80s. Not as hot as yesterday, but still rather warm. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the middle 60s. And then tomorrow, we're looking at showers and thunderstorms. 100% chance of rain tomorrow night and some strong winds as well. The Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. It's a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Hundreds dead in a Turkish mine.
Hopes of finding more survivors are diminishing.
Fire crews save the day in San Diego.
We didn't lose any lives, and we didn't lose thousands of homes.
Magic fires back.
He's trying to find something to help him save his team.